The following conversation is excerpted from the U.S. Department of Labor Employment and Training Administration's Virtual Business Engagement Academy held over a week in September 2016. The Academy was a deep dive practicum into running and managing an industry sector partnership where businesses are placed at the center. It features remarks from the Deputy Assistant Secretary, Eric Selznow, and concludes with a brief panel exchange between Assistant Secretary Byron Zedema and Siemens Corporation President Eric Spiegel on the importance of the workforce system partnering with business to address skill and talent needs. First, Deputy Assistant Secretary Selznow.
I will tell you what sectors work is not, employer engagement work is not. It's not coffee and donuts and an advisory board that meets twice a year. It is deep employer engagement. It goes on over a lengthy period of time. One thing you should be warned if you're new to this world of sector partnerships or sector strategies is it takes a while to get the group cohesive around and trusting of everybody. Your group should be made up of multiple employers from the same industry sector. Sectoral work and sector strategies are two different things. I think all of us over the last 15 years in workforce development and education and training have been doing sectoral work. Question is, can you go from sectoral work to doing real sector strategies? Do you have a strategy with the business industries in your region? More than coffee and donuts a couple times a year, right? And you all know what I'm talking about. But if you're really doing this sort of work, it's much more deeper engagement with a small group of employers that hopefully grows over time, that trust is built. You're listening, you're probing, you're convening, you're asking questions with your partners around the table, and you're providing employers exactly what they tell you they need in terms of skills, credentials, knowledge, and abilities. And boy, we have seen sector partnerships start out as a simple sort of strategic plan, move into really in-depth industry and sector partnerships, and do a heck of a lot more than just do training for entry-level jobs. So, but it's a great place to start organizing and convening. There's a few tricks to it. I hope that the next few days will share some of those tricks for that deep engagement. I think probably the biggest thing that you all need to do, and when I was a local workforce guy, this was the hardest thing for me to learn, was to listen to the employers. I would be in rooms with employers, and I would have people around the room, and we would tell the employers what they need to do. If you want to tell employers what they need to do, don't do a sector strategy. Go do something else. But if you're willing to convene employers with the right people in the room and listen, you'll be surprised at what you hear over time and the trust you build with them over time. So, the final rules of the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act is out. Whether you're launching a career pathway program, an industry sector, an apprenticeship, these are all part of a continuum of services that we do, a continuum of sort of program options. And really, sectors work is more of a philosophy, right? It's a philosophy about engaging employers. And look, you all, not every single program you run necessarily is going to be an in-depth sector strategy. But for many of you, what you're trying to do, depending upon what the needs in your community, you'll want to do at least one or two. And later on today, you're going to hear from the healthcare community, which is a great place to start. All the fastest-growing industry, fastest-growing occupations over the next, 10, 20 years in this country. So there's great opportunity and already great examples around the country. Many of you know that. So when you look at, everything should be industry-driven, right? Career pathways, the sector strategy, the industry partnership, apprenticeship programs, they're all part of a continuum. And I would encourage you, all the same work that you do in developing sectors and career pathways, again, finding out what industry needs, crafting programs to give them what they need, getting the right training providers who understand exactly what the employer needs, finding the pipeline of workers to properly assess and put in those programs, are all part of the same strategy. And whether it's a partnership with a local industry or you want to go for a registered apprenticeship program, you just lean a little bit more to the right. If you want to do career pathways, it's slightly different strategy. But all of them have to start with engagement of the employers, earning their trust, finding out what they need, and delivering that to them. I think you'll see great results for performance, and whether you're at a college, a community-based organization, or workforce board, y'all need to be working together in communities to get that done. You can try to do it around a state sector strategy, and some states have, but I think the work will happen locally or regionally. And so you really need to think about labor sheds and employers in a certain area that you can do that. It's a little harder when you do it across state, but some states have done a great job setting it up. I think those states are successful. The work happens regionally. But certainly the job-driven training philosophy that talks about employers in the center and regional partnerships and having the right stakeholders around the table to listen, I'm going to say that again, listen to employers, not have a meeting with employers and tell them what they need to do.
The remaining conversation includes Assistant Secretary Byron Zeitema and Siemens Corporation President Eric Spiegel discussing the importance of the workforce system partnering with business to address skill and talent needs.
So let's talk about, big as you are, clearly you're part of an industry. And, you know, part of the discussion over the last few days, as we think about the idea of looking at regional economies and developing sector strategies, is that while we can and will continue to work with direct with employers like Siemens, we're also trying to figure out how do collections of businesses who are in common sectors, do common kind of businesses and have common kind of talent needs, how do we work with them, which implies that there's a sense in which even though in some cases they might be competitors, other cases maybe they're part of your supply chain, but how does that look from a business leader's perspective, this idea of, you know, can there be and how can there be kind of a partnership with you and others who are looking for this kind of talent so that, if you will, we can look at developing it on a more wholesale level, not just sort of a transaction with a particular employer?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Byron. I think this is critically important. Let me give you a real-world example. About 5 years ago, we were building a new plant down in Charlotte, North Carolina, a large plant that was going to require about 1,000 new workers, engineers, production workers, technical people of all kinds. We got over 10,000 applications for that plant, and after we did some preliminary testing and things, we were down to something around 1,500 people that were qualified to even work in the plant. But the vast majority of those people weren't trained to be able to work in that plant. So we had to train about 1,500 people, put together a training program for about 1,500 people. And then we realized that on an ongoing basis, we were going to need people on a more regular basis. So we went to the local community college, Central Piedmont Community College, and we developed a program around mechatronics. And we actually flew the professors over to Germany, to Berlin, to get training. We helped them write the curriculum for the program, et cetera. Now, as we did that, other companies in the marketplace realized that they had a need for mechatronics as well. So we didn't start by going out to a bunch of other companies because we had a huge need. And, of course, we're one of the largest employers in the Charlotte market down there. We had a big need. We knew we had to do something pretty quickly. And we worked with the local office of the Department of Labor. We worked with closely with the city. We worked closely with the community college to put this program together. And then once we got the apprentice program up and running around mechatronics, other companies joined. And the program was called Apprenticeship 2000. And I think there's about 8 companies that are part of that now. Who have a need for mechatronics. And basically, mechatronics is about a 3.5-year program. They go to school half-time. They work half-time. They get paid while they work. The great thing is they develop a real skill. They get a certificate from the state of North Carolina in this case and also from the Department of Labor for their apprenticeship. And they take on no debt. If they complete all the courses and everything, they're guaranteed a job. So you have a job, you have a skill, you have no debt, and this became very attractive to other companies. Now, you know, what would have been nice is if, you know, to your point about what you've been talking about this week with a lot of the people who are attending, it would have been nice if a lot of that work could have been done to help us do that, because obviously we're running a big business. We don't have time to go around dozens of companies to find out if they have a similar need. It just turns out this thing got a lot of publicity. A lot of people found out about it. A lot of other companies wanted to participate. And as I said, there's about 8 companies in that now. So that gives it some scale. That's reduced the cost of delivering the program. And I think it's been a big success.
Wow, Eric, that is like the best call to action I could think of for people sitting on this line today who are part of community colleges, part of the public workforce system, wherever you are, other agencies that work on this, either state and or local. You have just described and made the case for the fact that there's a business need, there's a business interest, there's a lot of things you can do, for yourself. But it would be, you've just started, I think, to define what's the useful role for the public system. Along those lines, I mean, clearly you have been a leader in this, and you were drawn into it, certainly, if you will. It's a certain amount of enlightened self-interest. You knew this was good for your company to have this kind of involvement. But let's back to thinking a little bit more broadly about the industry idea, sector strategies, other business leaders in the community. Any advice and observations to the collective workforce system about what is it we need to know or do in order to really engage with business leaders and make it a reality that jointly we can, turn a public workforce system into something that's actually engaged with and meeting business needs.
Well, I think, one of the first things, I think this idea of these workforce boards is very powerful, and I know there's requirements around having significant business engagement in those, and we've been encouraging around the country our business leaders at our facilities and major offices to get engaged in these workforce boards, and so I think that's one very powerful way to provide information, but also to make sure that these local communities, are taking the right steps. I think the big thing is, first, I wouldn't be afraid to reach out to companies. Everyone knows who the employers are in their marketplaces, the big ones and small ones. Obviously, we've got businesses to run and things like that, but we're, finding skilled workers and finding local skilled workers and making sure that there's going to be a steady stream of those people is a major part of any business strategy. And so we're always open to engaging. Now, I would say that, one of what I always advise people when I'm talking to in cities on these workforce boards and things is, come prepared. When you go out to visit a company, have some information about what they do, what kinds of people they're hiring. Have some information around what the situation for that kind of skilled labor is in the marketplace. Come prepared to have a conversation. Asking questions is good and getting information is good, but I would say that, companies and a lot of our operations around the country, they're looking for people to come in and help them think through either new ways or new opportunities, places where they can hire, new training programs that are available to them, anything you can do to make it easier for them to understand where the types of people are that they're going to need in the future or the types of training programs. And I think you'll even find, we recently researched this inside the company. As I said, we have over 80 manufacturing locations. Almost half of those locations are involved in some way with a local community college or technical school with some kind of program. In many cases, it's not a full-blown apprentice program, but it is some kind of internship, co-op, training program. And in many of those cases, we find out about those programs not just because the schools have approached them, but in other cases it's because some workforce group in that market has engaged with the business to suggest that they get involved. And in some cases, we even pay for and sponsor the development of some of those programs. So you'd be amazed if you reach out and sit down and talk to companies like Siemens and many other companies, the information you'll find, but also you'll find that they're pretty receptive to helping ensure that those kind of programs exist in the marketplace. So I would say being proactive is probably the best advice. Don't sit and wait for companies to come to you. Reach out to them, but do your homework. And so engage with the local businesses. As I said, I'm ready to talk, but I think if you have a good strategy for your region and you can start to balance the supply and demand, make sure the right training program's in place, I think you're going to find a very receptive audience from business, at least companies like Siemens and other CEOs I talk to. This is a big challenge, and we need all the help we can get.
For full transcripts, video recordings, and session materials from the Virtual Business Engagement Academy, please follow the link included with the podcast. Thank you.